So this verse is spoken by Krishna to Arjuna. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature, but in each and every instance he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. That is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Om Agyan Timirandasya Jnana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadammayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, 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 Hari, Hari. So I just read approximately the first half of the first paragraph from the purport. But the verse, one who sees me and everything in me, I am never lost, nor he is ever lost to me. Very powerful statement when you think about it. As Prabhupada said, this is the conclusion of Krishna consciousness. So we're trying to understand both Krishna, and we're also understanding the process of becoming Krishna conscious, which is one sense none different than Krishna. So understanding the process of Krishna consciousness is also knowing the instructions coming from Krishna through the spiritual teachers. And that is the process. So learning to see those instructions or the principles that are guiding those instructions in everything we do or everything that comes within our, what we say, range of perception, we can, as Krishna says, we can always be connected with him. We're never lost. Krishna is never lost and we are never lost. There's three kinds of people. Or you might say three ways that people sort of have a way of interacting with life. One is a person who makes things happen. He's a doer. There's another person who watches things happen, more like a passive person. Does something, but more passive than active. And then there's a person who wonders what happens. We don't want to be the last one. Always bewildered by how things are going on, or what is our relationship to what happens around us, and how we can see Krishna in everything and learn, see the principles of religion within the activities of existence. The three modes of material nature are working in relationship to the living entities, desire, and therefore all activities are being carried out by those three modes according to the desire. One who is in Krishna consciousness can see that. They can see that. And they can also see how things are happening in such a way that I can become Krishna conscious by whatever happens. Or we can learn a lesson. There's two lessons we can learn. One of the lessons is what we should do and what we should avoid. The Ramayana is full with both. It's so deep in the principles of bhakti and the qualities that make up those principles in an interchange between Ram and all his associates. And at the same time, it is on the opposite end. It's such a heavy treatise on the most demoniac activities. We have Ram, the embodiment of all good qualities, all virtues, all compassion, all love, all everything that embodies the perfect, what we say, purest of all Vaishnavas, devotee, in the role of Ram, and yet power as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and compassion also. And then we have Ravana, Hare Krishna. not Hare Krishna, but anyway, Hare. He is the embodiment of all cruelty. So cruel that he would kill anybody simply if they disagreed with him. On the spot. You couldn't even disagree with him without risking your life. That was, so you see, we had the, this is the Ramayana. And you see there's a lot on both sides. Ravana didn't care about anybody. He was so self-motivated that whatever was for his interest, he used that. And it was good to be nice to people for his interest, he did that. And if it wasn't, then he was his normal self. That was Ravana. And we have the opposite, where Ram and his associates, his family members, would sacrifice everything and anything for the good of others and for the benefit of the others, for the welfare of others. So the Ramayana is full. If you want to learn life and devotional service or just life in general, read and study this. Everything is there. It's the most amazing account of how to perfect one's life. And therefore, the Ramayana is filled with so many powerful lessons. Really, not just lessons, but powerful lessons. And I think, and I'll use a few of the incidents within the Ramayana to try to bring out some of those points that maybe we can learn from them, and we can guide our own devotional life based on these things. And one that comes, which is probably one of the most outstanding of all examples, is Kaikeyi and Mantara. We know Kaikeyi was one of the favored queens of, in fact, according to Ramayana, is she was his favorite queen, the most beautiful, the youngest of the queens, and the one that saved his life, Dasarath. So she was pretty much the favorite. But, and she had a maid servant whose name was Mantara. Mantara was, we might say, not very nice, Haribo, to use a very simplified word. She was very much motivated by what she could gain for whatever she did. In other words, she was a maidservant because it was good for her to get some prestige of being the maidservant of the principal queen and the wealth that came with that. So her mind had been poisoned by the idea that which she concocted, that if Ram took the throne, therefore Kaikeyi would be in a second-class position because Ram is the son of Kaushalya, and Kaushalya would be considered now to be the favorite of everyone because she was the mother of Ram, and Ram would be the king of Ayodhya. So thinking she would be in at least second class or even worse situation, she devised her evil plan. And what was that evil plan? To somehow persuade, against her will and against all her good judgments, a person who was in the complete opposite direction. In other words, Kaikeyi loved Ram as much as Kaushalya. And maybe we might even say even more. She had such affection for Ram. And she was just as joyous of Ram coming on the throne as anyone else in the entire kingdom, including Dasaran. She was so pleased and happy to learn that Ram would be taking the throne. Although her son was Bart, she loved Ram and Bart equally. In fact, it even mentions she may have had more affection for Ram, because of his dealings, how he dealt with everyone, and his qualities. Now, Mantara has an apparently impossible program to somehow make that the opposite. And she speaks all kinds of very nice philosophical lies, putting Ram in a position of being self-interested, playing the role until he gets the power, and then he'll become very exploitive. Seeing her situation, Kekai's situation, as being, she uses the most tricky arguments just to convince Kaikeyi that, you know, your son is going to be in a very bad position because your son's father, I forgot his name. Do you remember his name? The father of Bart. I mean, the father-in-law of Bart. Anyway, he was an enemy of Janaka. And they were... And if Ram takes the throne, then Janaka will use that as an opportunity to attack Bart's father-in-law, Haribo. All kinds of intrigue and concocted ideas she had. And you'll be second class, and I'll, of course, because I'm connected with you, obviously I'll have the same. Maybe second class will be lucky. Will be less than that. So she uses all these, what we say, interesting arguments, and she's persistent, very philosophical, and she has a goal. She has a goal to dissuade Kaikeyi's mind away from supporting Ram and supporting her ideas by putting Bart. Why is Bart not here? It's Dasarath's plan to keep him away so he can put Ram on the throne. He knows Bart's more qualified, but he brought Ram on the throne. Nice arguments, but they're all lies. All lies. So there are, and therefore, what is the message? There's many messages, and of course, in this particular part of the Ramayana. But it's the influence of bad association. Asatsanga, tyaga, a Vaishnava achar. It says, Lord Chaitanya says this statement to Sanatana Goswami. When Sanatana Goswami asks, what is the first duty of a Vaishnava? He wants to know, what is 4 months? Lord Chaitanya responds, is asatsanga, tyaga. Give up the association of bad, of non-devotees and a Vaishnava achar. Accept the association of Vaishnava. First duty. So many examples of bad association have created so much problems in the minds and hearts of someone who is practicing spiritual life. Dravida, gorilla, Dravida, we hear in Krishna Leela how he was killed by Lord Balaram. He was a monkey soldier fighting in Ram's army. How did he become a demon associated with another demon, Narakasura? And by that association, he became what we say. And then because of that association, start finding fault in Lakshman. And that same Lakshman appeared as Balaram later and, you know, killed him in Krishna Leela. So just by what we say wrong or bad association, one can lose one's faith in truth. And this is what happened to Kaikeyi. Although she was always associating with Mantara, now Mantara had a vengeance. She wanted to get even with Ram. She wanted to stay in the foremost position as being the maidservant of the principal queen. Therefore, your son Bart deserves the throne. And if he doesn't get the throne, what will happen to you, me, and everybody in Ayodhya? Ram is very nice until he gets the position, he's going to be really exploitive. Wow. You read her words, they're like poison. But they're so nicely explained. So a person who has an agenda and is also motivated by personal interests that are different than the interest of God and the interest of what we say, the well-being of others, will make plans in a very, very, what we say, cunning way to. Therefore, we learn from this. And Mantara, she had a little vengeance against Ram. When Ram was a little kid, he was playing, and he was shooting arrows, and he was a little boy. So he made some mud balls, him and Lakshman, and they were shooting mud balls. So one of the mud balls he shot, and it hit Mantara in the back, and it broke, and all the mud splashed all over her. And then she got, and they, and all the kids, you know, kids are like, kids are kids, right? Of course, this is Ram. And they want to do a little mischief. So if a kid does a mischief, you can expect it. And if they don't, there's something wrong with them, because that means they're not really. Prabhupada used to say, mischief is kids is a sign of intelligence. It's true. If your kid's very mischievous, you know you have a big brain there. But she didn't see it that way. She didn't like that, and she never forgot that incident that Ram laughed at her by throwing this mud ball. And so she kept that. So this was Mantara. So we learn to very carefully, and bad association can also mean hearing criticism from people who you normally associate about other persons. That association all of a sudden changes when Vaishnavas criticize others and tell you what they want you to believe about this person. Because I'm your friend, you should believe this about him or her. That's very dangerous. To bring someone else into your own negativity. Be very careful. Because then you become also polluted by that type of, well, we say, consciousness. Like that. So therefore, bad association also could mean that to hear things that are against the principles of Vaishnav culture and practice. Like that. We avoid that. One devotee, his name was Jayananda. We all heard of Jayananda, one of the first devotees in the Krishna conscious movement. He came with Prabhupada in the West Coast and very dedicated. And he was known as a very sincere servant of everyone. And he loved everyone and he worked hard to spread Krishna consciousness. But one of his major qualities is, if anyone was talking bad about another devotee and Jayananda was around, he would immediately leave. No questions asked. Turn around and leave. And you couldn't talk to him like that because everyone knew that he would leave as soon as you tried. He would never like to hear any criticism about any Vaishnava, whether it was warranted or not. That was Jayananda. So he was known for that, what we say, outstanding quality. And that's a Vaishnava. So, you know, Mantara wants Kaikeyi to believe everything she says. And therefore, if we listen to that, even though it may be wrong, we can all... You know, does that ever happen where someone will say something about somebody else and you don't know whether it's true or not, you don't believe it, but at the same time, when you hear it, it creates a little doubt in your mind about that person. And then you start wondering, and you start developing a different attitude towards that person, like that. So it's better never to hear criticism. It's poison. It's poison. And Lord Chaitanya says, to criticize a Vaishnav is like drinking poison. If you drink poison, you die. If you praise a Vaishnav, that's like drinking nectar. And if you drink nectar, you'll get longevity of life. So kind of we want to stay away from the mantara mood. Okay, that's power of bad association. Of course, and power of good association is just the same. In other words, by good association, we go up, or we have the opportunity to go up. Like that. So, any questions on the power of association?